Hello and welcome to the Dynasty Drunks Fantasy Football Podcast with your hosts, Daryl White and Jeremy Vest. Got something to say? Then crack open a cold one and leave us a message on the 24/7 Drunk Dial voicemail line at 702-530-5564. Enjoy the show and remember, friends don't let friends trade drunk.
All right, and this week we're going to be talking about NFL news, Dynasty Drunks, leagues, and we're going to profile a sleeper wide receiver. Remember to reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Please like, share, and rate the podcast. Don't forget to check out the Dynasty Drunks app and the website, www.dynastydrunks.com. So you got a beer there. Obviously, you're drinking some Bud Light.
It's, yeah. I do want to say real quick on the website front, I did do not heavy editing, but some like cleanup editing, and then added some articles sections. Still a lot of article stuff to kick out, but an improvement, I think, in general to the website. So just so there's that. So hopefully that gets a little more traffic. So, but Bud Light, just what it was in the fridge. Kind of like I was telling you, I was downtown Las Vegas. I had two beers at the sports bar before I came. Some pretty good beers. One out of Chicago, and then I think the other one out of Reno. Some nice reds. How about you?
Yeah, I'm right now in my Dynasty Drunks Cup. I got this Orion Orion draft. It's obviously not draft, it's in a fucking can, but it's a Chickawassa beer. So it's like regular beer with like this, I don't know if you can see it. It's like, it looks like a lemon on the inside, but a lime on the outside. Some weird fruit they have here, but it tastes like lime. And then for later, I brought in my koozie, the Rogue Hazelnut Brown Nectar. And I think it's one you'd actually like. It's pretty tasty.
It actually sounds like one that I do like. Yeah. Yeah.
No hops at all. So it's very good.
Yeah. Browns, ambers, reds, all about it. Lagers are easy, I think, for everybody, but yeah, no, I do think that's one I do like, but.
Yeah. And since I am drinking in the middle of the day, I picked up this is supposed to be like a hangover cure, like a Japanese hangover cure. I'm drinking a couple times
and it didn't work.
No, I've had four or five beers and like didn't feel anything. I felt fucking great the next day. So hopefully it works out for me.
At our age, four or five beers leads to a hangover for sure.
Exactly. So. I could drink one or two sometimes and it's terrible. So, well, I guess it kind of goes with the take a shot. So take a shot this week is going to be camp speculation. If you haven't listened or watched the show, like take a shot anytime we say it or anytime you hear it mentioned this week, basically just take a drink of whatever you're drinking, if you're drinking, or water if you're at work, or, you know, whatever. If you're drinking at work, it's your prerogative. Go ahead and do it.
It's not just our show either. Like, it's a general blanket for the whole week.
Yeah.
You know?
No listener tweets or voicemails this week. I seem to remember some interaction on Twitter, but nothing, you know, it's always just some BS, you know?
So, yeah.
But the number, if you get a wild hair and want to call us, leave us a voicemail, 702-530-5564. You can also text us. So if you don't want to call up and listen to our creepy voicemail, then send us a text.
I thought it was a good voicemail, to be honest, but yeah.
Yeah, I haven't called to listen to it, so maybe it does sound creepy. I have no clue.
I'll turn just was scared that you thought we actually answered. So, I mean, we're not actually answering, to be honest. Yeah. So,
Dynasty Drunks League happening. So the only thing really going on this week is I just made a trade a couple hours ago with Marcus Wheatfins and Dynasty Drunks Part Deux. Traded Deontay Johnson, who I just traded for, with Jacob. I traded Juju for Deontay Johnson just because I like Deontay more. But then
this makes sense, though.
Yeah, and then I had Claypool already, so I was looking for, I wanted to just get rid of Juju and get someone different in on a different team, but obviously didn't work out that way. So I thought what I think is the better player, Deontay Johnson, and I ended up flipping him to shore up my running back situation, which I had Gus Edwards as my RB2 in this league, so needed somebody. So I sent Deontay and a second for Miles Sanders. I think it's a pretty good trade for me. Need a running back, and even for value purposes, either way, like I could do pretty well there.
I would have initially tried to just get rid of a third there instead of the second, but I'm not against it. Oh, you did? Okay.
He originally wanted a first, so I was like, all right, I'll send a second. So I thought a first was way too much. So
yeah.
Second makes sense.
Sanders. Right now is an RB2.
Yeah.
You're not, for me, you're not getting a first for an RB2 or wide receiver two, whatever two.
Yeah.
But that, I don't know. That's me, but yeah, I like it. I think it's good.
Yeah. Speaking of the Dynasty Drunks leagues, our league mate Ike has a business he is advertising with us, and we'll go ahead and roll that. This episode of Dynasty Drunks is brought to you by Pure Mist. We are very excited to be partnering with our friend Ike and his business. Pure Mist is an indoor environment solutions company helping communities in both North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and Minnesota by creating clean spaces in any venue. The only technology available in products proven to reduce COVID-19 on both surfaces and in the air. Active Pure technology products proven to kill 99.96% of airborne and 99.98% of surface SARS-CoV-2 in as little as 3 minutes. Tests completed in partnership with a biosafety level 4 and biosafety level 3 combination lab team following strict FDA protocols. So check out PureMistCo.com or contact them at 218-242-1561 or by email at Isaiah@PureMistCo.com. That's Isaiah, ISSIAH, at PureMistCo.com. 218-242-1561. Pure Mist. Well, we are cooking with gas now. Dynasty news, notes, and hype. So first off, feel good story right here. Saw some chatter about Greg Olsen saying that his son's heart was failing. I knew I heard something about this a couple years ago. So his son has a congenital heart defect. He's had 3 open heart surgeries and a pacemaker installed. His name's TJ. He's 8 years old, and he just received a heart transplant today. That's from multiple sources on Twitter. So congrats. Man, it does make you wonder, did his place in the world, and I mean, did it have something to do with the heart transplant?
I don't know. No, I'm not even speculate. Like, no.
Yeah. I think young kids go to the get top
priority.
Of
anyway, yeah. So yeah. So this is a whole calculation about like life expectancy and all that stuff. Like, yeah. Yeah. Another 10 years, they're not going to give me a liver. So.
Oh yeah. Especially if they find out how much you've been drinking.
Yeah. It's over. It's over. Like, you guys did a whole podcast on drinking basically. Like, oh shit. Like,
no.
Yeah.
But, great, great story. So regardless of my asinine comment there, Brian Gutekunst says, this is your favorite subject, by the way, Packers GM Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Drink. But
Gutekunst says the Packers are not trading Aaron Rodgers. So
yeah,
sure.
Duh.
Good news. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. They have all the leverage. Why nobody's realizing this. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers, even if Rodgers retires, he owes them money.
Yeah.
Like millions of dollars. It's like, I mean, yeah, I'll be pissed, but like, I'm tired of the narrative. Like, oh, they're going to trade him because of, you know, whatever. No, no, they're not. No, they're not.
Yeah. It makes no sense at all. Antonio Gibson's turf toe injury has lingered into the off season. I've seen a lot of speculation about this on Twitter.
Exactly what this is.
But don't know, until it like lingers into the like actual mini camp and preseason, I am not worried about it. Or actual training camp, I mean.
I think we have 100 days till even the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is why the take a shot is off-season speculation, because we're just going to bring this stuff up and shoot ourselves in the faces.
All of this is basically everything we're talking about is speculation right now. Yeah. So
just keep drinking.
Yeah, exactly. Giants apparently planning to take it slow with Saquon as he returns from injury, ACL, MCL, and meniscus injury last year. So basically tore up his whole fucking knee. Yeah.
Smart Giants. Yeah.
Exactly. And even more exciting news here, Texans signed Rex Burkhead. So just retread running back for the Texans.
I'm glad you're leading off with all the hard hitting stuff right now.
Do they have the oldest running back room ever? Mark Ingram, Rex Burkhead, David Johnson. I mean, Philip Lindsay is going to be like 26 and he's the youngest guy.
I received a trade like trying to send me basically Dave Johnson as my RB2, and it was lopsided. And I was just like, I kind of wanted to do the trade just because he was throwing so much shit out of me, but it was just like, yeah, I'm going to be super weak at running back. And I was just like, no, I can't do this. No.
Yeah. So kind of related to that trade I made in the Dynasty Drunks League, reminder that Deontay Johnson had 160 targets through 16 injury play games last season, a 26% target share, and his hog rate, which is targets per snap, was 20.7%. That's huge numbers. I mean, even though he had some of the dropsies, we'll forgive that for all these targets. He's probably going to continue to.
Didn't he lead the league in drops? Or
I think so.
Close to it. Yeah.
Let me do that
while you
but I mean, that was one share of Deontay Johnson. I have a lot. I think I have about seven teams with Deontay Johnson. So not hurting for Deontay Johnson shares after that. Cam Newton, while you're looking for that, Cam Newton hit his hand on a helmet in practice and now has a mild bone bruise. So kind of maybe opening the door for Mac Jones to steal a job, but we're still like mini camp. So we'll see where that goes. Chargers offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi on Mike Williams. As much as this offense will resemble New Orleans, he plays the X, and the ball has always kind of found the X receiver in this offense. I see a big role for him. If I were a betting man, I'd bet on nice numbers coming from him on the stat sheet. That's for sure. Man, talk about speculation. Freaking Mike Williams.
Yeah. Real quick, I'm not getting anywhere because I don't know what player profiler is doing right now, but every time I go to the menu, it is just destroying my whole screen with like every option that you can select from. And it's let me do another way of trying to get to this because this is bad.
But Mike Williams, guys, I mean, a lot of people showed a lot of promise at points in his career, but has just never panned out, especially over an entire season. So, I mean, you like to hear the offensive coordinator talk a guy up, but I mean, that's what they're doing to everybody at this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah. He dropped 16 passes overall and led the league. Yep.
Deontay Johnson, you got to take the good with the bad, I guess.
Yeah, you'll fix it eventually. And sorry, not to really go back on this. This is what I wanted to get to. Just got sidetracked. I mean, without Ben, though, in dynasty purposes, I think this completely disappears without Ben. And I think that's the concern. That's the concern I have. With Claypool, I really like Claypool, but like, it's when Ben's gone, what happens? They didn't. Yeah. They know the end is nigh, and they didn't do anything at quarterback. Nothing. I know, late in the draft, but
if you want to continue talking about Steelers here, you got Big Ben's glowing review of Dwayne Haskins this week. said his release and throwing motion are one of the best I've ever seen. Ever.
Ever.
I mean, right. Big Ben's seen a lot of guys throw the ball. Yeah, this is just... I mean, come on, Ben.
I'm going to run out of beer at this point.
I guess he's just being too nice. This is too. He's gone too much the other direction.
Yeah. Anyways,
So, out of all these Steelers wide receivers, I think I would want to have Diontae Johnson on my team this year in a PPR,
PPR. Yes.
Because I think he's going to be that target monster again. Claypool is going to get the big plays.
Best ball.
And Juju is going to be like maybe the odd man out, but he'll probably still be like a wide receiver three.
Yeah, he'll be the overdrafted one.
Yeah.
And then, underperform. So,
but in Dynasty, Juju could have some value going forward once he finds a new team, but I'm not going to bet on that.
He's just waiting on a bigger contract. That means... he's probably going to go to a team that has some space next year that needs help that isn't a good situation. That's what happens, right?
Yeah.
Free agents get paid. This is a prime example. Perfect, right? If you're a good player or whatever, you're looking to get paid, right? He took maybe a lesser contract to pass it on, getting paid till next year. So a team that needs wide receiver help but isn't good enough, you know, all around, is going to pay for him, and then it's just going to be middling, and it's going to be bad. So, whatever.
I saw that the Chiefs kind of apparently made a little run for him, and that couldn't have been bad for his value next year. I mean, I think it was like a 1-year deal, so who knows?
So he'd rather.
I don't know what.
Okay, well,
that's even worse.
Like you turned down to play with the Chiefs because you didn't get paid enough.
I understand turning on the Ravens for 1 year because you're not going to put up numbers and you're not going to get paid the following year. But
yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah,
the Chiefs just didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. I could be misremembering that, but I'm almost positive I saw him connected to the Chiefs in some way.
All right.
Okay. So after observing Wednesday's OTA, the Athletics' Connor Hughes believes it won't be long before fourth rounder Michael Carter is the Jets' lead back.
Completely agree. 100%.
Yeah. I like that. And actually, I was waiting to see if Michael Carter was going to go the pick ahead of me in this rookie draft I'm in right now. And Elijah Moore went. So I'm going to take Michael Carter.
At what pick? Probably 109.
2-3.
Ooh, that's nice too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I'm in that back end of the first round and it's coming down, I'm taking Michael Carter. Second round, early second, completely happy with anything after like 108, 109. That's kind of why I brought that up. Yeah. I'm cool with it. He will be the lead back in New York with the Jets. I mean,
yeah. So I kind of took a gamble here. I had pick 11 and 12. And so Waddle, Bateman, Sermon, Moore and Michael Carter were all there at 11. I took Waddle. I don't have any Waddle shares, so I went ahead and took him there. And then I took Bateman. I thought those were the two best available at that point. And then Sermon went, Elijah Moore went, and then I ended up getting a running back that I like anyway in Carter. So I'm pretty happy with
that. I like that you're getting Carter after Sermon, honestly.
Yeah. Exactly, because I kind of had a little conversation with Jan about that because I was going to trade up to that pick to take Carter, and he was like, "Oh, I'm just going to go ahead and take Sermon here," and I was like, "Okay, go for it." And the next guy took a while.
Tipped his hand a little bit. Yeah. I think if you're getting Carter in the second round, I think that's a good deal. Like just period, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm getting him around eighth, ninth, and I like it. But
potential starting RB. I mean,
there is nothing amazing in New York at running back outside of Carter, I guess, at this point. So this proven.
Talk about like a committee or whatever, but they have freaking Tevin Coleman, Ty Johnson, and this dynamic running rookie Michael Carter. So I think
I love all this speculation that's going on. So
there's a lot of speculation.
That's why I just pre-drink that, because I knew what I was gonna say on that one.
I'm enjoying it myself. Oh yeah, more Packers news. This is good, positive stuff here. Head coach Matt LaFleur says he wants to feature Robert Tonyan in the offense more in 2021. Says Tonyan has improved more than anyone on the team since he became head coach in 2019. That's from Matt Schneidman, Packers beat guy.
So you waited a whole year to use him?
I mean, the most improved since 2019. So maybe he wasn't improved enough in 2019. 2020, you saw some, you know, some good stuff. I mean, I like hearing this as a guy with a lot of Tonyan shares. I mean, you get kind of worried about a guy that just kind of flashes, and then sometimes they just go away, especially the tight end position. So hopefully this is not I was coach speak.
Consistently take him in as a tight end four. So, like, yeah. No, I've got a lot of Tonyan. Like, Rogers will be back. Hopefully, but that what might screw me. So we'll see. But no, all in.
Always on these Packers guys. Noah Fant finished tight end 12 in PPR points per game last year, but he left week four early with an ankle injury. Broncos were missing all of their QBs in week 12. He played just 5 snaps in week 14 due to an illness. Remove those 3 games and Fant climbs to 5th in PPR points per game. So, I mean, that's all well and good, but
remove what?
He just wasn't on the field. I guess if you remove those 3 games from all tight ends, he would go up. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for those that only listen to the podcast, I basically passed out in my chair because God, that's horrible.
It was a reach.
Yeah, okay, I admit it was a reach. Yeah, it's a reach. Yeah. And we didn't come up with that though. So
yeah.
We are the accumulators of knowledge.
Yes.
Not the generators sometimes. Sometimes we generate, but cool. Tight end 12 basically is what you're hearing. And there's plenty of people that can be tight end 12. Let's discuss this real quick. Where's the cutoff and where you actually need to care about tight ends? 3, 4, 5? After that, take anybody you want. Find them on waivers. Who cares?
After 5, crapshoot, basically.
Yeah. So, and that's it. Even at this point, it's saying, 5th in PPR? So basically in the crapshoot area, even if you delete games. So I'm not... We talk about these athletic profiles, and Fant was one of those guys. That doesn't mean anything. I'm sorry, especially the tight end position.
And especially when your quarterback situation sucks.
Also
true. Your offensive line, for that matter, so he's probably going to be asked to block more.
Yeah. Yep.
Only Alvin Kamara scored a higher share of his team offensive touchdowns than Antonio Gibson last season. It's 36.2 to 32.4%. That's from Rich Rebar at Lord Reeves on Twitter.
Did Rich subtract the 6 touchdown game?
Probably not.
Probably not. So that's an outlier. So that does not sound mathematically.
If you subtract the 6 touchdowns, would it be? Or at least 4 of those touchdowns, probably. They'd probably be pretty close.
Yeah, they'd be close. Those two players would be close, but I assume this is, you know, I'm not going to use that phrase.
But let me add, talking about these two guys right now in Dynasty, would you rather have Kamara or Gibson on your team?
Kamara.
By a lot?
He's proven.
Yeah.
I don't like the situation.
One season of production.
Yeah, he's proven. So, you know, there's a little, at least a minimum downside with Kamara, you know, versus Gibson. So
I don't think we're going to see a huge drop off from Kamara, regardless of who's, I'm hoping Winston, but we'll see.
Yeah.
It's impossible to come away from a Lions practice, even in shorts, and not see how much the team likes DeAndre Swift. That's Jared Smola at Smola DS on Twitter. Main thing here I saw is even in shorts.
Unless you're the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Because I've seen
Anthony Lynn, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen like the exact opposite. The like, oh, we're just gonna run the hot hand, and you know, the guys who's killing is gonna do it. Like, let's yeah. The team is saying one thing that doesn't quite jive with this. So
yeah.
And you've actually said this to me before. I was like, Preston Williams caught something from Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I was like, ooh, you're like, oh yeah, it's in shorts. That I was like, oh god damn. Like, yeah, it's like, all right, fine, whatever. Like, you're right. But damn it. So I get the excitement, but
Preston Williams, the Hall of Fame of minicamp.
Yeah. One more year. He gets one more year, okay? One more year. Stay healthy, man.
So some more hyperbole here. Matt Rule said tight end Ian Thomas had a tremendous offseason. That's Joe Person at Joseph Person on Twitter. Ian Thomas. I mean,
I really need to start editing some of this stuff out.
Nah. More, it means more drinks for the take a shot.
This is a good one, then. Yeah, for that.
On Zach Wilson, just like last week, he worked entirely against the first team defense. You'd expect him to force some passes, hold on to the ball too long, and have a few miscommunications with receivers. There is none of that, which is wild. That's at Connor J. Hughes on Twitter. Everything I've heard about Zach Wilson so far has been good coming out of Jets camp.
Question. Is the first team defense of the Jets actually good?
Probably not.
Okay, well, thanks. All right, that settled that for me. Like, really? Like,
yeah, who knows what if they're easy to run against the ones, or if
they were the one of the worst defense teams in the league last year.
It's got to be some kind of teams. They know what shit they're doing in minicamp too. So
yeah, they're not. Yeah, this is great. This is
more from.
I'm out of beer.
Sorry, man. More from at Connor J. Hughes from Jets camp. It's still early, but you can tell Elijah Moore is more dynamic than anyone the Jets have had in recent years. What makes Moore different is his elusiveness. He's going to be one of those players where you just want the ball in his hands because he's going to put on a show. Like hearing that about a young wide receiver. I mean, kind of a slap in the face to Jameson Crowder, though. I mean, that guy's been a monster for them for a few years now.
It's all about new shiny toys.
Yeah, and he's... I mean, I don't know. I don't think Jameson Crowder was ever really a dynamic wide receiver. He was just the guy in New York.
Well, that's New York wants dynamic and spectacular and, you know, bravado or whatever. Well, I don't know what the fuck they want. They want to win, but they don't do it the right way or at all. But yeah,
I think they're headed in the right direction. They seem like they got some good stuff going on there. From what I hear right now. And
one thing you don't have on here, which I was thinking about the Jets. So if I was Jets owner, I'd sell the organization just because it's probably worth a lot of money at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Reportedly, the Bears want to sell. So, what? Yeah, reportedly the Bears owners want to sell. And that just tells me exactly about a franchise right there. It's like,
okay,
you want to bail? I mean... Clearly, they're not doing necessarily a good job, but yeah, I think Jets owner sell why the market is hot.
Yeah, no, I love Elijah Moore. I like hearing anything good about him in this offseason, so that's good stuff to me.
Yeah, I like him too, and I have like zero shares of him because he goes earlier than I'm willing to take him. So
yeah, I wanted him in Green Bay, but we never get the things we want there.
I'm not going to.
I'm totally happy with Amari Rodgers.
Yes, totally happy. Yeah, yep.
In the third round. That's fine.
That's a steal, I think.
Yeah. Joe Mixon, going into his fifth NFL season, he's only 1 year older than Najee Harris.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's pretty wild. I mean, Najee's going to be 24 when the season starts.
That's true. So
Joe Mixon's 25. So
maybe I need to sell Najee a little bit.
Man. I mean, it is a little worrisome. I try not to be like But I mean, it's a 4-year college starter or 4-year college player. He's, I don't know. There's bust potential with any first round
running back. Every first round, these guys. Every player, basically.
Yeah. Exactly. Even Kyle Pitts, everybody.
Yes.
You're here first. This could be the biggest bust of all time, right?
I'm only asking for like 4 first rounds. Like, and I think that's fair value.
You'll probably get it at some point. He has one big game or one big play.
I'm kind of upset not going to the Hilaire last year. I had some chances to get some major value off of him. I'm not mad that I didn't take that trade. I still believe, but the value I could have got was insane. Yeah. So I like that insane value. So
I don't think I would have wanted those picks this year if it was like the picks for this year.
Yeah, I would have to know like what team it was and stuff and all that to figure out like how it would have worked out. But
yeah.
I mean, well, real quick, just to say I flipped, you know, Superflex, I flipped Lamar Jackson, who had a down year for him, like Lamar Jackson for Hilaire, like the 101 that year and more first rounds and Superflex. So then I could have flipped Hilaire for more first rounds. Like I probably could have had the whole first round, you know, like honestly, I think in that particular league, if I'm correct, I had 3 already. 3 first rounders. And I think I ended up with Pitts anyways. I think that might be the one I end up with. Like I could have like Chase Smith or Bateman, or like I've been wanting to end up with like Harris, Pitts and Smith, or yeah, I don't know. Anyways.
No one has come close to slowing down Bucks rookie wide receiver Jalen Darden down through slowing Jalen Darden down through multiple practices this offseason, as a receiver has easily achieved separation on the outside and in the slot. That's from pewterreport.com. So Jalen Darden, big, I've noticed him as a big sleeper from a lot of people in drafts as we're talking him up. And
well, let's
let's talk about him right now.
Yeah. I was saying this is an addition to the post-draft sleepers, late round flyers, kind of aspect of things. These will probably continue to pop up kind of in that time of the year anyways. So that's pretty good transition. What do you got?
Yeah, I was planning on probably trying to get at least one guy in here a week where we just kind of break him down a little bit. But Jalen Darden, wide receiver out of North Texas. He is 5'7.5". Another one of these small wide receivers, 174 pounds, drafted in the 4th round by the Bucks. Ran a 4.44 40. High school QB, wide receiver, and ran track. So got multi-sport athlete there, multi-position in football, so that's always good. 74 receptions, 1,190 yards, 19 touchdowns in 2020. 76, 736, and 12 in 2019. What I saw watching some tape on this guy, elite acceleration. So he's basically his first step, and he's at top speed almost. Like it's, yeah, I didn't see a lot of guys like this, like just immediately, just fast. Only fumbled one time in his career, but being a small guy, that could be a concern for some people. So good hands there. Has return experience that'll get him on the field. Known for having a crazy work ethic. Saw some quotes about from coaches, like talking about him, like just showing up to practice early, staying late, catching balls. So you always like to hear that. Finished 3rd in FBS in receiving yards and 2nd in receiving touchdowns. Awesome stuff there. Undersized with slight build is some of the negatives here. Doesn't look to have much room to grow either. So he's pretty much maxed out on his frame. So, I mean, there's a definite negative.
This is the wide receiver version of JV and Hawkins.
Yeah, exactly. Or, well, I think Tutu Atwell it's the wide receiver version of Jordan Hawkins. Oh. Tutu Atwell is like 148 pounds or something.
I don't know. Really? Was it?
Oh, he was drafted in the second round.
Well, I don't remember him being that light though. Like
he's a tiny dude, man.
Yeah, let me look.
Small target, obviously, 5'7". But Brady has always gotten the ball to these guys like Edelman, Welker. I mean, I don't know if they were quite this small, but I mean, Brady has no problem. But
yeah,
Brady's probably going to play until he's 50 anyway. So he'll probably be there through Darden's whole career.
Atwell, 155, but he's 5'9". Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
A little taller.
Notice that he kind of freelanced routes sometimes, just kind of not really sticking to the plan there. Small stature could mean some durability concerns ahead. Only Devonta Smith and Amari Rodgers had more yak last season in the FBS. And already getting some hype, like we mentioned before, out of Bucks camp. So arrow pointing up on this guy.
I mean, I see the value definitely when you talk about like Brady finding the ball or, you know, getting these guys the ball or whatever. That losing Curtis Samuel, wrong team.
Bucks are one of the only teams that didn't lose anybody.
Yeah, like, they lose
anybody. Won the Super Bowl and kept everyone.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah, God, now I have to drink myself to death.
Only a Brady team.
Yeah, they always do it. Yeah, it's size concern. I love seeing like when they're like, oh, like he doesn't have a second gear. Well, his first gear is fast. Like, what are you talking about? Not a second. Like, yeah. You want him to run a 3-something? Like, oh man, yeah, it's cool. My biggest thing is I like a lot of these things. You know, return experience, played multi sports or positions, etc. And his work ethic, but small. I mean, I think it'd be gadget player, return guy. Oh shit, return guy. Yeah.
Yeah, they've already got a couple small guys or you know slot guys on this team. Tyler Johnson is a guy that people have some hopes for, and Scotty Miller, another tiny dude running there. So
yeah, I feel he'll be buried. You know, and that's
I was kind of surprised that he was picked in the fourth round. I didn't remember that him going that high. So. I mean, there's potential here, but who knows?
Yep.
Yeah. So on to last call. You got anything this week?
Not really, man. I think, you know, we will be on a break at some point here soon. Not necessarily because we want to, but we have to. I think we've basically been killing it like almost every week since we started.
Yeah, we've missed like 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah. So, but this will be kind of mandatory. So I guess those that actually listen, stick with us. I was thinking about like maybe we could do like, you know, quick snips kind of things just to keep something out there.
Yeah.
But I don't imagine it being maybe 2-3 weeks tops. I don't know how long you need. As soon as I just know my internet situation, my timing, you know, it'll take me a week really to figure that out.
I'll probably be in a hotel for a little bit, but I'll have the laptop, so shouldn't be too much of a problem. I mean, I'll leave here the 16th and get there the 16th, so that's not going to be an issue. But
issue.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll be busy too. So
oh yeah,
we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out for sure. So
yeah, just for one thing for last call for, so I mentioned I was rookie draft earlier. So not really a whole lot of surprises in this one. It's just gotten past the third pick in the second round. I took Carter, like I talked about. I went, Jamar Chase went third. Najee Harris went fourth after him. Kyle Pitts fifth. Yeah, not really any more surprises, though. I mean, everything's pretty much chalk at this point.
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty shaken out at this point. In the first two rounds, if you go off ADP, you're good. I think after that, you just take whoever you want.
Yep.
No.
ADP basically drove my, you know, Waddle and Bateman pick there at the end of the first round. So
makes sense though. Yep.
And I lucked out with Carter in the second. So I'll take
it. I think it's good. Definitely. I like it.
All right, man. Well, another awesome show. We drank a little more. Well, we're forced to drink a little more this time than we usually do.
I didn't bring enough to drink, I think.
But
so.
Even then, I didn't even make it through two beers. So
yeah. we'll see how the timing comes out. So we'll do this next week then. Hopefully not as much junk news.
Come on, man.
Some real good shit. Nah. It's good. It's all good stuff, man.
I spent a lot of time on this.
I know. That's what I said. It's all good stuff. I had to make you feel better.
All right. I appreciate it. All right, buddy.
Later.
Later.
Thank you for tuning into the Dynasty Drunks Fantasy Football Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to rate and subscribe. Until next time, remember, NFL players don't care about your fantasy team, but we do.